Hi, welcome to Bible Talk. This week the question is, will you forgive me for having to forgive you? Now, does that sound like a strange question? It should. A few weeks ago, I presented a study on Bible Talk asking this question, should Christians just forgive others even when no repentance is present? I presented two main passages demonstrating that repentance must occur before a Christian can forgive someone. In Luke 17, verses 3 and 4, Jesus said, "Take heed to yourselves. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times in a day, and seven times in a day returns to you, saying, 'I repent,' you shall forgive him." Clearly, Jesus, in this passage, taught repentance must occur before forgiveness can be granted. The second passage that we presented in our last study was Matthew 18, verses 15 through 17, where Jesus said, "Moreover, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he hears you, you have gained your brother. If he will not hear, take with you one or two more, that by the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he refuses to hear them, tell it to the church. But if he refuses even to hear the church, let him be to you like a heathen and a tax collector." Well, this passage also clearly teaches repentance must occur before forgiveness can be granted. I would encourage you to go to our website and re-listen to the entire presentation that we offered showing repentance must occur before forgiveness can be granted. To my surprise, there was much opposition to my presentation. As a matter of fact, one church leader gave a sermon to his congregation entitled, "Just Forgive." He attempted to teach that the "just forgive without repentance" theory was scriptural and that Jesus taught such a doctrine. He taught that we should not hold bitterness and hatred in our hearts, but instead we should just forgive. Another church leader wrote to me saying something very similar. Here's what he wrote, quote, "I believe the definition of forgive is, I will not hold hatred in my heart. I pray for them and allow God to handle it. God forbid if someone killed one of our loved ones, but if it did happen, would you not give it to God? I will not allow an unrepentant person to control my emotions. Forgive, to stop feeling anger toward someone who has done something wrong, to stop blaming someone," end quote. And so both of these church leaders are basically saying the same thing. They're saying that it's wrong to hold bitterness in your heart toward someone. It's wrong to hold hatred in your heart toward someone. You must just forgive and let God handle it. Well, what should we think about all of that? Let's consider what is being said in light of the Scripture. First, the just forgive theory equates non-forgiveness of unrepentant sinners with harboring hatred and bitterness in your heart. So, since I'm harboring hatred and bitterness in my heart, I need to just forgive and let it go and hand it over to God and let God take care of things. But if I'm harboring hatred and bitterness in my heart, looks to me like I need to do two things. First, it seems that I need to ask God to forgive me for having hatred and bitterness in my heart. And then I need to just forgive the hoodlum who's violated me and my family and who won't repent. So let's apply this to real life situations. Now, let's take the so often committed case of marital cheating, okay? So Barbie finds out that Ken has been cheating with another woman. If Barbie needs to just forgive Ken, it must mean that Barbie has hatred and bitterness in her heart. If Barbie has hatred and bitterness in her heart because she needs to just forgive Ken, why, she's as much of a sinner as Ken is, isn't she? Barbie needs to simply forget about what Ken has done, and she should fall down on her knees and pray to God to forgive her of her hatred and bitterness that drives her to want to forgive Ken. And if Barbie should ever think that she should divorce unrepentant Ken rather than just forgive him, well, then Barbie has a real problem. In fact, the best thing Barbie can do is to become completely oblivious to Ken's cheating. Let him cheat day after day, because if Barbie ever reaches the point where she needs to forgive Ken, well, that means she's got hatred and bitterness in her heart. And now, unrepentant Ken isn't the one with the problem. Barbie's the one with the problem. Well, let's not stop there. Let's apply this to a pedophile. Suppose a man at church rapes your teenage daughter and won't admit to doing wrong. The just forgive theory says that you're the one with the problem, because if you think the pedophile needs forgiveness in the first place, well, that must mean you're harboring hatred and bitterness in your heart. And now you're the one with the problem, not the pedophile. And if the congregation thinks that the pedophile should repent, why, the whole congregation's got a problem now, not the pedophile. Well, secondly, the just forgive theory says God harbors hatred and bitterness in his heart. If even needing to forgive implies hatred and bitterness inside your heart to begin with, what does that imply about God? Does he have hatred in his heart? Does he harbor bitterness in his heart? This is absurd, and the absurdity demonstrates the falseness of the just forgive theory. Third, the just forgive advocates won't just forgive me for teaching that people have to repent. Why are these church leaders writing to me? Why are they preaching against my presentation at their congregations? Why don't they just forgive me for teaching what I've taught? In Romans chapter 4, verse 3, there's a good question that's asked. It says, what does the Scripture say? You know, we need to ask that in regard to the just forgive theory. What does the Scripture say? Here's what the Scripture says. In Luke 17, verse 3 and 4, take heed to yourselves. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times in a day, and seven times in a day returns to you saying, I repent, you shall forgive him. You will notice Jesus is the one requiring repentance here. You will also notice Jesus did not say, just forgive the one who sins against you. He didn't say that, did he? You will notice Jesus did not teach people are holding hatred and bitterness in their hearts until they do forgive the perpetrator. Requiring repentance is a rule Jesus made, not me. What does the Scripture say? Well, here's what the Scripture says in Matthew 18, verse 15 and 17. Moreover, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he hears you, you've gained your brother. If he will not hear you, take with you one or two more, that by the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he refuses to hear them, tell it to the church. But if he refuses even to hear the church, let him be to you like a heathen and a tax collector. The just forgive theory says Jesus is wrong about all of this. The just forgive theory says you should just not go talk to your brother about his fault, because if you do, it must mean you've got hatred and bitterness in your heart. This false theory says you should not take witnesses with you, because then you'd be escalating the problem, not the brother who sinned against you. This theory is saying you should not take the matter before the church like Jesus said, because now the entire church will hold hatred and bitterness supreme in the congregation, and the entire hateful, bitter congregation will go to hell for even the thought that the perpetrator needs forgiveness. The just forgive theory makes the words of Jesus in Matthew 18 completely meaningless. Any doctrine that makes the words of Jesus meaningless is a false and a dangerous doctrine. What does the Scripture say? Here's what the Scripture says. In Matthew 5, verse 23 and 24, Jesus said, "Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift before the altar and go your way. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift." Well, the just forgive theory would forbid preachers from preaching this to sinners. Instead, the congregation should be admonished to just forgive people and turn it over to God and let Him handle it. In summary, the just forgive theory is wrong and it is dangerous. It is dangerous because, number one, it absolutely denies and rejects the very words of Jesus in Luke 17, verse 3 and 4. Number two, it completely abolishes all commands to administer discipline to unruly church members, like Matthew 18, verses 15 through 17 teaches. Number three, it makes God Himself a sinner for not just forgiving sinners. Furthermore, the advocates of the just forgive theory prove themselves that they don't believe their own doctrine, because when someone rapes their daughter, they want repentance on the part of the rapist. Because when someone causes trouble in their congregation, they want the troublemaker to stop making trouble or else they will withdraw fellowship from him. Because when a spouse becomes unfaithful, they suddenly start thinking of divorce and remarriage to another who will be faithful. And because when I teach against their just forgive theory, they don't just forgive me for teaching against their theory. Simply put, the just forgive theory is a false doctrine that is not practiced by anyone, nor is there a shred of proof in the Bible for such a false doctrine. The only effort by anyone to produce a scripture for the just forgive theory is the passage found in Luke 23, 34, when Jesus prayed, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." This passage does not teach the just forgive theory as we demonstrated in our first study on this topic. I invite you to go to that first study and re-examine the material relative to Luke 23, verse 34. Well, thanks for listening to our message this week. We invite you to visit our website at www.willofthelord.com. That's willofthelord.com. There are no spaces between those words. And there at our website, you may download the notes and the audio file of this message you just listened to. We invite you to call again next week when we consider a new subject on Bible Talk.